This program is paid for by First Baptist Church of Conshohocken. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of the First Baptist Church or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. My guest for the preponderance of our hour is Mr. Brian Williamson, the executive director of the Telhai Camp and Retreat Center in Honeybrook, Pennsylvania. Brian brings a wealth of experience concerning Christian camping, something known and endearing to many an evangelical believer. But first, we turn to Paul's letter to the Hebrews. In any event, to the letter of the Hebrews, there are those who believe that Paul has drafted this epistle, and we read in Hebrews chapter 12 that you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him, who warned them on earth? Much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken, that is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. A word that I would like to speak up front, and it will prove to be no doubt somewhat, if not utterly controversial. It is not intended in any way to cause harm or hurt, but it is to bring to the attention of us all just how holy, and therefore, if you will, otherworldly, is the Lord God Almighty. Many people during these current times have been telling me that they are praying for me, given the loss of my lovely wife, and I'm deeply obliged. I know that the sentiment is heartfelt, it is always sincere, and yes, I am truly grateful for the expression of such by many. But one thing that I must bring to people's attention, as I must always bring it before myself, if my life is not in right order before God, then by what right do I have to come before him other than in repentance of heart and confession of sin? For God to hear my prayer, there must be an open channel, and that channel can easily be obstructed, easily be clogged by my sinful proclivities and behaviors and attitudes. For me to cry out to God, it must be from the heart. And for me to endeavor to enter the presence of the Almighty, well, I think of what the psalmist says in the 26th Psalm. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord and who may enter his presence? None but those who have pure hands and a clean heart, those who do not swear to idols. It's a rather extraordinary statement, and I think for those of us who are followers of Christ, we must always step back and we must always give stock to whether our lives are in right order. And for those of you who are outside of Christ, but perhaps you are seeking after truth, and certainly if you have honest and sincere hearts that the Lord would be working, then I would encourage you, please, in his love, I would encourage you with full speed ahead to seek him out with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. God answers the cry of his people. He answers the cry of those who are seeking after him sincerely, in spirit, and in truth. Jesus himself says that if you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door shall be opened. And if you cry out, he will answer you. Be assured of this. But we must always be mindful of the holiness of God. We must always understand that God is not like us. Indeed, there's a psalm, I believe it's Psalm 51, in which God says, I hold this against you. You thought that I was just like you. Often our understanding of who God is predicated upon our understanding of ourselves. We see him as a kind of mirror reflection, or we create a God of our own manufacture. A very dear congregant of mine from many years ago once made the observation that we create designer deities to follow, just as we wear designer clothing. But God can be designer nothing. He himself is the designer with a capital D. And we must understand that he will brook no rival. He will not allow for false gods. Indeed, he will smash them. He's the great God. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian apologist, said of God that he's the great iconoclast, the smasher of everything. He will continuously endeavor to refine our understanding of who he is. And quite candidly, the most perfect expression of who he is Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Colossians, the first chapter, that he is the image of the invisible God. Indeed, the great Bible expositor, John Stott, has said that the best way of translating a proper understanding of what Paul is saying is that Jesus can be likened unto a digital photograph of Jesus Christ. Christ is the embodiment of all that God is. And frankly, when he calls us to himself, he calls us ultimately to be the embodiment of all that he is and does. Apart from him, we can have no access to the Father. Apart from him, God remains removed from us. Not that he wishes to be removed, but by virtue of our sin, we cannot have entry. And that is why the imagery brought forth in this text is rather horrific if you take a full and meaningful stock. Indeed, I remember when I was visiting with my lovely wife, my spiritual homeland of Wales, and we were up north and laying our eyes upon at a distance, Mount Snowdonia, very majestic at a distance, but also very foreboding. And I could have easily envisioned my Heavenly Father residing there. He would be eminently approachable through the blood of Christ, but I could get nowhere near him apart from the blood. And so we must be very careful that we treat not the things of God lightly. Indeed, that we treat not God lightly and in a worldly way. But I love, please, what this text goes on to say. For those washed in the blood of the Savior, and that can be true of you. All right, it is assuredly true of my fine guest. This is what the scripture says. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyous assembly. You have come to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, and you have come to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, as well as to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood. It speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You have so come. And the beautiful thing of the character of the Almighty is that he always beckons us to come to him And I love the words of Christ, my Savior, from the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 28th through the 30th verses. I often quote this text, and I will never weary of it, and it is my privilege to share it in the here and now. Jesus, with arms wide open and countenance aglow, welcoming with a hospitality of heart that defies southern hospitality or any measure of earthly hospitality. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I first heard these words 47 years ago this month. They continue to mean the world to me. I pray they do also to you. Praise God, Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It is my privilege and pleasure to be joined by a gentleman by the name of Brian Williamson. He is the executive director of the Tel Hai Camp and Retreat, God's Place with You in Mind. And the retreat center is located in Honeybrook, Pennsylvania. For many an evangelical believer, there is a history, a personal history that is grounded in the ministry of camping. And Brian, this is dear to your heart. And I'm so pleased that you are with us today.
It certainly is, and thank you for the invitation.
It is my pleasure. I so enjoyed meeting you at the funeral luncheon for Sarah Williamson, my very dear congregant who had turned 100 years of age back in January. Refresh me, please, your exact relationship to Sarah.
My father's brother was Sarah's husband, St. Clair. And Aunt Sarah was always my favorite aunt, and we named my daughter after her.
Well, you come therefore from good stock, don't you?
I do.
She was a wonderful, wonderful lady. Praise God. But Brian, before we get into the ministry of camping, and I must be very transparent, I've never really been a part of such ministry. I seem to recall back in the early 80s when I was doing some youth work, we took some kids up to Camp Monadnock in New Hampshire. And there was another one, Rumney, I think it was. So I have limited exposure. But I do know from the testimony of many how special is the work that you offer. And so all the more, I'm so happy to have you with us. Brian, share with us, please, your story of faith.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Ridley Township in Delaware County. I come from a family with two loving parents and one brother who was 8 years older who I idolized. So I had a great home life. And growing up, my family would always take my brother and I to church with them. And I enjoyed it when I was young. But as I got older into like junior high age, I would reluctantly go. And so when I attended there, I really didn't understand what it meant to be a true believer, to really understand how my sin separated me from the Lord and what it meant to have a personal relationship with Christ.
You know, Brian, I'm intrigued by this. It's if you will, stock terminology and concepts for those of us who are evangelicals. And I fear that all too often you are not doing this. But I fear that all too often we can speak this language rather glibly. It is imperative that we appropriate not simply the message of the gospel, but begin to embody it. And my sense of you when we met over the luncheon is that you and your very lovely wife have done just that. So how did the gospel become real to you?
Well, I was invited to attend a Young Life meeting, which is an evangelical outreach to high school students who didn't go to church or didn't want to go to church. And it was there that I learned about the separation that my sin caused between God and myself, and how Jesus offered his life as a payment for the sin. And I also learned that I needed to make a decision regarding the truth that I now understood. The problem was I was a thrill seeker and a partier, and I didn't want to give up things that I thought made my life exciting and fun. So I left there with head knowledge, but with no heart connection.
You know, if I may, Brian, that intrigues me as well, because I remember a day, I'm going back to the 1980s, when I worked at Logan Airport in Boston. I had this young lady working with me. She gave the appearance of being a street urchin off the streets of East Boston. Obviously, she came from a home, but she was all oh so rough around the edges and in the middle. But she was a sweetheart. And one day she asked me, Brad, I understand you want to be a minister. She didn't fully understand what that meant. She came from more of an old school Catholic background. So she understood priests, but the idea of Protestant ministers was a bit lost on her. So I tried to explain, and that incorporated the message of the gospel, no disrespect to her Catholicism. And her reply to me, I will never forget it. She looked at me somewhat astounded. And she said to me, well, what, don't you want to have any fun in life? And I looked at her and I said, I forget her name now, so I'll just say honey. I said, honey, it depends upon what you mean by fun. I have the joy of the Lord and I can enjoy life just as much as can you, but within proper boundaries and within those boundaries, people won't get hurt. So, but you were out beyond those boundaries by your own words, weren't you?
Certainly. And as we both know, God's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anybody. So he released me to go ahead and make a mess of my life, which I did. Matthew 10, verse 14 says, "And whoever does not receive you or listen to your words, as you leave that house or city, shake the dust off your feet." Well, fortunately for me, my young life leader forgot that verse, or perhaps chose to tuck it in the back somewhere. He kept in touch with me, and I graduated high school in 1978. But in 1981, when my life was a mess and in a deepening downward spiral, I cried out to the Lord, and He changed me. I went on an old life weekend, which was really a young life weekend for people that had graduated. And it was there that I gave my life to Christ.
You speak of crying out to the Lord, Brian. And something that I've learned, and it's taken me a long time. You know, often as Christians, and we should be doing this, we petition the throne of grace. But for those of us who are veterans in the act of petitioning, we discover quickly that those prayers are not always answered immediately. But what they will be answered, and maybe they're being answered in a way that we don't like. But when we cry out to God, aka as did the psalmist David, I cried aloud to the Lord. The refrain in the Psalms will always be true for the Christian. And He answered me from His holy hill. He answered you with newfound life.
Yeah.
Praise God. This was in what, 81?
81.
I'm a 75 man myself, so I have a few years on you in the Lord. You have 1 year on me in life. So now, how quickly did you find yourself entering into meaningful fellowship?
Well, my young life leader, he discipled me as a young Christian. And he said, Brian, you're going to need to exercise your faith. There's going to be a calling on you to share what's changed you. And so I started in the ministry as a volunteer leader in Young Life, along with my high school sweetheart, who later became my wife. She was part of the
lovely lady
Young Life team as well. Yeah.
You tell her I said that, won't you?
I will.
All right.
So we've been in some sort of youth ministry for 40 years, first with Young Life or Sunday school, VBS, youth groups, children's ministry, and with Christian camping.
You've covered the bases. I do remember taking a youth group from Everett, Massachusetts, Everett being just outside of Boston. And these were all very urban-oriented kids, okay? We'd take them up across the border into New Hampshire, much more rural. And I do remember it was Monadnock, and the other one was Romney. And I remember these kids at the time of their lives, but I also remember in a very meaningful way that they were confronted, lovingly, but forthrightly confronted with the message of the gospel. I remember it vividly, and it left a deep impression. But Brian, the current segment comes to a close. We'll come back together, you and I, Brad Lacey and Brian Williamson, with the great message. Thank you.
This program is paid for by First Baptist Church of Conshohocken.
Brad Lacey and Brian Williamson, who is the executive director of Tel Hai Camp and Retreat, God's Place with You in Mind, located in Honeybrook, Pennsylvania. Brian and I have been discussing his personal story of faith, but brother, I'd love for you now to enter into the world of camping. We'll discuss Tel Hai in just a moment or two, but tell us about the nature of camping ministry first and foremost.
Well, you can share God's word in many places. The advantage of being at camp set aside for that purpose is that you don't have the distractions that other places have. You're in God's creation with the beauty of nature all around, and you have enough time that can influence you.
Now, I have to be honest with you, Brian, and I'm being somewhat playful, okay? I'm a city guy through and through. So I see the beauty in things urban. But I also know the value of stepping aside and being removed. And I think this is perhaps the point I'm making now more soberly. The need from time to time to step aside, to be separate from the normal flow of one's existence, so that the Lord can begin to speak with greater clarity. For me, I've spent time in monastic settings. Just south of Boston, there's a wonderful place called Glastonbury Abbey. It's a Benedictine retreat center. And those brothers have been of great value to me. But I know for many young people, and not exclusively young, I know by their stories the value of the world that you offer. So tell us something in particular about the Tel Hai Camp and Retreat. First, where are you located?
Honeybrook, Pennsylvania is located on the western Chester County border, right alongside Lancaster County. And we're about 10 minutes south of Berks County, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And tell us the nature of your schedule. I know you've just concluded summer retreats, but you now have other kinds of conferences forthcoming. Tell us about the nature of what you folks do there, and with some specificity.
Okay. The end of June through mid-August, we have 9 weeks of summer camps, each a week long. And those camps, we have a father and son camp. We call it Dad and Lad, and that's the first camp of summer. And in the spring, we have mother-daughter spring getaway. The other 8 weeks during the summer, we host and serve other ministries and churches for them to run their program. So we are behind the scenes.
An admirable opportunity for churches, is it not? I mean, that's a very beautiful thing. Now, being behind the scenes, you're lending a helping hand, I'm sure.
Well, behind the scenes would typically be we're not sharing the message. The theme is always picked by the group, but we're serving the meals, we're cleaning up, making the repairs.
Yes. Providing the infrastructure. Exactly. Let me ask you, Brian, does it require a kind of corporate initiative, or can an individual just knock on your door and say, I'd like a few days in your retreat center? How does it work? Or not work?
But typically, it would be for a group. The difference we make for single individuals would be if a pastor would like to have some quiet time for his own personal retreat for a weekend. We allow them to stay at one of our buildings and for free of charge. And so they can get some...
God bless you.
That way they can get
some... God bless you. Yeah, a lot of pastors, and I count myself amongst them, we're in small settings. And it's not as if we make large salaries, and there's great need for this. In my case, Brian, not only do I pastor, I refer to First Baptist at Conshohocken as my lovely little fellowship, and it's been made lovely by the likes of Sarah, your aunt, as well as her sister Eva, who's my very dear friend of 34 years standing. But I'm solo in the ministry. I work also with the Philadelphia Bible Society. I do this radio work, and we have a project called Voices of Philadelphia. We're creating an audio Bible utilizing known voices from the city. But it entails a great deal of intense and ongoing labor. And so to be able to step aside for you to offer this free of charge, that is a precious gift from God. I tip my cap to you. Well,
it is a real blessing to us to be able to offer that, because we really, we have a heart for pastors. We know it's not an easy life. And if they can come and get refreshed and served and charged up for their next part of business or going to leading a sermon, That's what we strive for.
Brian, this tells me that clearly you are motivated by the Holy Spirit. Many people, and I shouldn't say many, but you do encounter often enough individuals or groups who are engaged in ostensible Christian ministry. And I'm not saying that they're insincere, but often it is more a kind of for-profit venture. Clearly what you're doing is rooted in the heart of God. You are trusting in him for what you require as you lend yourselves fully in service to the saints. Again, I tip my cap to you.
Just doing that, God, he blesses us as well.
Yeah. Tell me about some of the specifics when the kids come. What kinds of things do you offer?
Well, for the dad and lad camp.
Yeah, anyone. What are the offerings?
Typically, they would arrive in the morning. They'd go through registration. They find their cabins, get all settled. And typically, then they do have some free time where they can play mini golf. We have an enclosed mini golf area. We have nine square. We have carpet ball. Just small activities that they can play in small groups while they're getting ready for their meal. Typically, they would all come into the lunch hall at one time. They would be served. Their leaders would be greeting them and, you know, kind of getting them hyped up for the great week that they're going to have. And they'd find out what activities they have planned for them for that day. They might have some free time to head out to the pool or go fishing. Or it could be a chapel time starting. It's different camps. Run them differently.
Now, do you folks provide worship services and that kind of thing, or is that do the churches do that themselves?
They would plan and conduct those activities themselves, with the exception of the dad and lad camp, which we do the program for that, and so we select the materials. And
now you are the executive director, which means that your primary labor is administrative. And administrative labor is ministry for the kingdom of God. Do you find yourself, however, engaged in, loosely speaking, pastoral ministry where people simply need your counsel as a Christian or your direction as a... I mean, how does that work with your interactions with the people present in the camp?
Well, primarily, it would be my responsibility to support our staff, to let them... Yes. You know, to let them know that they're appreciated, they're cared for.
Oh, yes.
To be encouraged. And that would be for the summer staff as well. We have five full-time year-round staff members, but then we get about 10 more college and high school-age staff to serve the campers during the summer for the 9 weeks.
I'm glad you speak of your role in part, and even perhaps preeminently so, as one of encouragement. This is something I've learned as a pastor. I love Barnabas from the New Testament. You know, the name Barnabas means son of encouragement. And you see, when Paul was at odds with someone, Barnabas would stand up for the ones with whom Paul was at odds. You know, he was a great encourager of the saints. And I endeavor to encourage my congregants. And if I may, Brian, my own sense of identification of a Christian, at least in this frame, within this framework, is twofold. If I'm with a Christian, I want to be a source of encouragement in some meaningful way. Mm-hmm. If I'm with a non-believer, I want to be a gracious witness to them, which raises the question, do you allow for, if you will, non-believing groups to utilize the camp, or is it exclusively gospel-oriented?
It is gospel-oriented, but it is also evangelical in that many groups bring non-believers with them to hear them.
Right, yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Obviously, you're not going to bring in a group that is flagrantly violating the Word of God, but you do provide a Christian ethos whereby there may be very well be an opportunity for the Spirit of God to work. I was just having lunch yesterday with a very dear friend who's heavily invested in 12-step ministry and AA. And when he's amongst the AA crowd, he's amongst preponderantly non-believers.
Right.
But of course, he brings the witness of Christ by way of who he is. Praise God, you know. Praise God. How long have you been in this work, Brian?
As a director of camp, I began October 1st of last year.
Oh, so you're, but do you feel like you're a seasoned veteran yet?
No, you learn something.
Not yet.
You learn something new every day. Now, my family has been associated with camp for over 25 years. My first exposure to it was the church that we went to did a 2-day camp out here, and we really look forward to that. And that's how I became familiar with the camp. And then we were asked to be members of the association, which would support the camp financially, help on work projects, and pray for
A fortuitous opportunity. It parlayed into a marvelous ministry for you, Brian. Brian Williamson and Brad Lacey with the great message. We return for the final round in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Brian Williamson, who is the executive director of the Tel Hai Camp and Retreat, God's Place with You in Mind, located in Honeybrook, Pennsylvania. Brian is my guest, but before we resume our conversation, a personal word, if I may. It has been my great privilege to have been married to my wife, Peggy, for 25 full years. It would have been 26 years come September 28th of this year within which we're operating. But in March, my wife was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and over the course of 5 months, I bore witness to her radical and dramatic decline. She is a woman of faith who endured hell itself, but in the final analysis, passed from hell into heaven and into glory. And I am so grateful for my lovely wife. She stood faithfully by my side through a great many years of difficulty. Being in local church ministry is not always easy. And God himself knows that we often were put through the grist mill. But Peggy always remained faithful, always remained a woman of deep fortitude and of deep and ardent devotion to the Lord. She was faithfully and lovingly devoted to ministering alongside of me. Indeed, several times she joined me on this broadcast, most recently for the Mother's Day weekend, and we discussed what she was confronting, and she spoke forthrightly as a woman of faith. On Saturday, August 20, at 4:01 in the afternoon, my wife left us. But I know that she went to be with God, and I know that she's doing fine, even as we speak right now. I don't speak glibly. I saw the hell she endured, but I am not a preacher for nothing. I do not claim Christ and the promises of the gospel for nothing. I believe what I preach, and I pray that in the main, in the very least, I practice what I preach. And therefore, I have full confidence that my wife is now in the presence of God, knowing peace, the likes of which she had not known even well before the cancer struck. And she now knows the fullness of the joy of his salvation as dearly and as deeply as I miss her, and will for some time ahead. I would not want her back, because I would never, ever begrudge her the company of Jesus Christ, or Christ the company of Peggy. She was an impeccable lady and a wonderful, beloved wife. I give her to Jesus and to no one else, and I praise God for her. Thank you. Brian, it's not easy, and I probably could utilize the services of your retreat, although, to be candid, come the end of September, I'm returning to my homeland of New England, where I'll be spending a good month to 6 weeks, and then I travel to Wales, which is my spiritual homeland. So I will be stepping aside from my ministry for 2 months, and seeking the Lord's grace, coming to terms with my wife's absence, and endeavoring to move forward. I have no doubt that there are many pastors who are blessed in a way that I now need by the services that you and your retreat offer. Share with us, please, from any angle, an anecdote or two concerning camp ministry.
Okay. One time a couple came to our church to teach us about the Passover Seder, and when they were finished and getting ready to leave, the lady told my wife, as a little girl, I went to a camp in Honeybrook, Pennsylvania. And my wife said, was it Tel Hai Camp? And she said, yeah. She said, well, it's only a few minutes away. Would you like to go stop over and see it? And she said, sure. So they came to camp, and she saw the cabin that she stayed in as a little girl, and she broke down and wept because that's where she met her Messiah. She was Jewish, lived in New York City, but came to camp in Pennsylvania and heard the good news of Jesus, and that's where she became a Christian and received the good news and met her Messiah.
Extraordinary. If I may just interject briefly, the former general secretary of the American Baptist Churches of USA, a friend of mine, is a Jewish convert. He still has the thick Jewish accent, the thick Jewish New York accent, but he's a great and ardent lover of Jesus Christ. That's a beautiful story you share. Tell us another.
Most recently, the beginning of summer, I was contacted by a distraught mother who was going through some very difficult family situations. And because of that, she kind of lost track of time and had not gotten her daughter registered for camp. And she also needed some scholarship assistance because she didn't have the funds to pay for her daughter's camp. Her daughter had come to camp for many years as a child and was excited about coming to senior high camp. And she was literally packed and ready to come to camp, but hadn't even been registered yet. So we provided a scholarship and we prayed that God would work out a way for her to get there. Well, the registrar of the camp figured out a way to squeeze her in. And so she was able to come, and her faith was just really increased because she said, I'm not going to unpack. God's going to get me to camp. And then a few weeks later, I saw a name I recognized on the table because they put the counselor's name on the table. And the name was that of the young girl who attended the senior high camp. She was back again to be a counselor for the kids camp who are elementary age. And so having received the blessing of coming to senior camp, she wanted to pass that along to the younger kids.
You know, so often, Brian, and it's a very legitimate request that we make of God. He wants to hear it. We ask him to bless us. I have no problem with that. I ask him to bless me. I was asking him to bless my wife through her ordeal, and he has blessed her with heavenly abundance now. But it's also important that we always ask God not simply to bless us, but to allow us to be a blessing and to utilize us in his service. And this young lady got it right from the start.
She did. And her faith was just so strengthened from that experience.
Praise God. Brian, you are speaking, as am I, we're speaking within the broader evangelical framework, but do you ever find that Catholic or Orthodox groups endeavor to utilize your camp?
Yeah, there have been youth and adults who were raised Catholic that had just come as part of the group to be a part of the program. We have a men's group that it's called Marked Men for Christ, who are several denominations and come just to deal with bondages and get them dealt with and grow in their relationship to the Lord. So, yeah, we do have different faiths represented.
And do you have a standard, I don't know, do you have a standard Sunday worship service, or is it always as the particular group would structure things?
It would be as the group structures it. They would conduct their, if they arrive on the Sunday.
Okay.
It's actually nice to have off on a Sunday once in a while so we can get recharged.
Well, there you are, to be sure. And Brian, within 30 seconds or so, any regrets taking this assignment, or is it joy for you? I think I know the answer.
It's been a joy, but it's been a challenge. I came into this job with a certain amount of confidence, and the Lord really broke me down and made me lean on him through several circumstances to show it needed to be him to pull us through.
Last time I checked, that's how he works through and through. He did it with the saints of the Bible. He's going to do it that way with us, you know? Absolutely. Do you have a favorite scripture? I just quickly, do you have a favorite scripture that maybe you bring to bear upon your work now?
God is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you that no one should perish. And that's what I think of when I think about the Young Life leader who did not wipe the dust off his sandals.
God, I praise God that he didn't forsake a partygoer who would soon become an earnest servant of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Brian. Mr. Brian Williamson, Executive Director of the Telhai Camp and Retreat. This is Brad Lacey. We bid you the blessing of God. Thank you.